like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Yeah, it was a weird news cycle over the weekend as far as some of the national stories. You remember Larry Nassar, the disgraced sports doctor who was convicted of sexually abusing female gymnasts? He was stabbed during an altercation with another incarcerated person at the United States Penitentiary, Coleman in Florida. So that guy, of course, nothing good about that dude. And apparently guys in prison with him found out and are handling him. He is in stable condition right now, but he was stabbed in the back and the chest at this stage. So they're not, I guess, ESPN reached out to the Federal Bureau of Prisons. They cited security concerns and not confirming the identity or health condition of any inmate, but did note that they confirmed on Sunday, July 9th at approximately 2:35 p.m., an inmate was assaulted at the United States or at the USP Coleman in Florida. They initiated life-saving measures. Staff requested emergency medical services. So I guess, have they proven it was him at this point? It sounds like it, but crazy story, ugly story, of course, with him well beyond this incident. He was sentenced back in 2017 to 60 years in prison on child pornography charges. In 2018, he was sentenced to an additional 40 to 175 years in prison for sexually assaulting gymnasts, including Olympic medalists. And then in February of 2018, he had an additional 40 to 125 years in Michigan State Prison after pleading guilty to an additional 3 counts of sexual assault. Yikes. Just an absolute ugly story there, and there you go. That's what's happening there. I had a guy once tell me, I knew it, you know, he went to prison for like 2 or 3 years, and I remember him telling me, those are the kind of guys that usually are just not treated very well. There's a lot of guys that do bad stuff, murder, what have you, but it's when it comes to child pornography and sexual assaulting and all this stuff, those are the ones that usually somehow, one way or another, I guess, to put it lightly, get dealt with. Another weird story. You've been paying attention to this Bob Huggins thing out of West Virginia. So Bob Huggins, he resigned, we think, after he got a DUI arrest. However, he's saying, I never fully resigned. According to West Virginia, he resigned last month. Now he's coming back and saying, I never resigned. That was not me. And he's going to sue the university if he's not reinstated. In response, the university announced the hiring. They just announced the hiring of longtime assistant Josh Eilert as interim coach last month. They said they will not reinstate Huggins and will defend itself against any such allegations that he didn't resign. So, according to what we thought was Huggins, it was a press release from them, from West Virginia, that Huggins wrote this: recent actions do not represent the values of the university or the leadership expected in this role. And then he went on to say he was moving on, essentially. I don't have the full letter in front of me, but I read it last night. Now are you wondering, did he write it? Does he remember writing it? He had been arrested in Pittsburgh for driving under the influence. He registered a blood alcohol content of 0.21%, nearly 3 times the legal limit. The arrest came nearly 6 weeks after Huggins had used an anti-gay slur during a radio interview that prompted a 3-game suspension and a $1 million reduction in salary. So this is going to get weird. And now you've got people wondering, some people, maybe a small amount, are wondering, did he actually ever write a resignation letter, or did they just kind of get him to say, yeah, I'm good, I'll be done, and then they drafted the letter up? Because he's coming out saying he never resigned. So
when he says moving on, is he moving on from this job or is he moving on from that
DUI
incident?
Did you read the letter?
Mm-mm. Does it say, like, I'm no longer at this position or anything like that, like, officially, or is it just moving on?
I don't know. That's the thing. Maybe it was, they took it as, they said you're going to resign, and maybe he agreed, like, via phone and then write it up, and then he never really fully wrote it to the point where it was specific that he was leaving. And now here we are. I read the letter last night. See if you can dig that up, Angel, because it doesn't. You're right. Maybe the letter doesn't, like, it's not cut and dry that he
so
quit.
I have a response from West Virginia to talking about his rehabilitation. Rather, to demonstrate his commitment to the WVU basketball program, he took the step of entering the program on a voluntary nature. Coach Huggins will be released from the program soon and will provide you with a full release for Coach Huggins to return to his active duties as head basketball coach.
Weird. West Virginia, I found another story. West Virginia accepted text from Huggins' wife as a resignation, according to letter demanding reinstatement. So where's the letter then? The full-on letter? Oh, here it is. Oh, no, this is just the attorney letter. That's not the actual resignation. So maybe for West Virginia, you know, get 100% clarification. And maybe not from his wife. So now it's going to get ugly here, dude. He's demanding his job back. Does he? First off, that would be an awkward situation. He's going to get back in the fold. And after all of this, did he resign? That's the big question. Did he actually resign? As you mentioned, he entered a rehab program. But maybe he's seeing the light clearly now. And he's like, you know what? Come to think of it, I never really clearly, without a shadow of a doubt, resigned my position as head coach. This is a weird one. You have that story. I want to get back to that. If you dig up that, whatever we have, a letter. But then also maybe they just accepted his wife's text as, well, that's not him. So that doesn't work. Here's this story, though. You've been paying attention to the Northwestern story? Yikes. Hazing and all of that going on. And now it's getting worse. A former Northwestern football player came forward with allegations of widespread hazing within the program, spoke Sunday with the university president, Michael Schill, who's considering harsher discipline for Coach Pat Fitzgerald. They just kind of suspended him for a while. Now they're saying, you know, this anonymous player is maybe trying to get him to be done, completely out. He's this former player who spoke to ESPN on the condition of, well, basically, yes, I have to be anonymous in this whole thing, said he told Schill about the hazing he witnessed and experienced at Northwestern, much of which he said was sexualized. Schill, in a letter sent late Saturday to the Northwestern community, he said he will release the 2-week suspension Fitzgerald received Friday following a university commission investigation of the hazing allegations. Well, Fitzgerald is saying that he didn't hear any of this. He didn't know about this. And that's a big problem. You know, that's always go to that. You had the Pitino thing in Louisville when he was like, I didn't know there were sex parties going on campus. It's like, you got to get a better hold of your program. If you're the head coach, that's kind of your job. If you didn't know about it, you should know about it. And if you did know about it and didn't do anything about it, they should do something about you.
Or even, who was it? Joe Paterno. And who was it? Sandusky at Penn State?
Oh, Paterno, yes. Yep. Right. Yes, that was another bad thing.
But this is, I won't go into the details of it, but accusations of, you know, hazing, younger players. They used the term for running, which was kind of just extra punishments. Apparently there was like these punishments were written out on whiteboards.
They
in
called
the locker
it like
room.
The Shrek board or something.
Mm-hmm. If a coach like clapped over you during practice, that means you were going to be running afterwards. Not like running, just do some sprints, but hazing stuff that some of these players were doing, and the coaches doing this little hand clap thing weren't, it was kind of like, it was showing that it was okay to do that. So other players were doing it to other players as well.
just if all this stuff is, you know, true here, which I'm following Adam Rittenberg as well with ESPN, who's doing a lot of work on this. But that former player sent a screenshot to Adam, or to ESPN at least, of that whiteboard angel that you're talking about, which he says is in the middle of the locker room. The image is headlined Shrek's List, includes a list of players' names and several bulleted items, including naked slingshot and naked bear crawls. I don't even know what a naked slingshot is.
I don't want to know.
Adam went on to tweet, we are not publishing the photo, but former player said that was in the middle of the locker room for all eyes to see throughout my entire time in the program. Every single player in this program from 2020 to 2023 knows what Shrek is and knows about the hazing that occurs. So if somebody's lying here, mm-hmm. right, that's where we get down to this. If this whiteboard is in the middle of the locker room for everybody to see, then there is zero way Fitzgerald didn't know anything about it. Because if it's a Shrek board and it says naked slingshot on it or naked bear crawls, then that is some kind of creepy crap that I don't want to even know about. And maybe that's what Fitzgerald said. Maybe if we want to give him defense for a moment, maybe he knew of the board and that was a way of the team doing individual punishments. But
it's a dry erase board.
Yeah. You see naked bear crawls and naked slingshots up there. You go, what is this? If you don't know, you go, what is this? Why are we writing this up here?
But how easy is it to just wipe it off real quick? Coach leaves the locker room, write it back up.
Somebody's going to forget at some point, right?
Unless there's some kingpin of all of this.
Yeah. Fitz should be fired.
Yes.
Whether he knew about it or not. He should be fired. The player said Fitz absolutely knew about hazing in this program. He said Fitz absolutely failed by not intervening. He knew, and he should have made it stop. And if he truly did not know, he should not be the head coach. Either way, he should not be the head coach because he is not monitoring and protecting the safety and well-being of student-athletes. So this is where the quote's a little interesting because it's like the first three sentences out of this anonymous player's mouth, former player, is he knew. He absolutely knew. Then it said, if he didn't know, if he truly didn't know, you got to be careful there. Because, again, I think he should be fired no matter what. But there's a difference. If he knew, he will never work in college sports or any kind of sports world again, shouldn't, and probably should have some kind of lawsuit coming up here. If he didn't know, which again, the player says, well, if he truly didn't know. So there is doubt in the player's mind that maybe, because he's saying if. Now, Angel, I know that if something weird went on and I know you know about it, and I say, Angel knew about it, and then I go, well, if he didn't know, he should have. Doesn't that open the door for, wait, Brady's not 100% convinced that Angel knows something.
Right.
I'm 90% convinced, but I don't know. I didn't see you know it. This is the only thing that protects Fitz here in any long-term situation. But he should be fired. 2-week suspension. That's not good enough. Now, is there an off chance? Now, the players have come forward, though, Angel. Northwestern players, collectively, I guess, they released a statement supporting Fitzgerald, saying he had no knowledge of the alleged incidents and that the accusations from the former player were exaggerated and twisted. The former player said Sunday that Schill, the university president, was extremely receptive to his accounts of hazing within the program and offered him resources to deal with the trauma. It is going to be a matter of he said, she said, he said, he said, whatever. Because you got one player. Right now, Angel, what we're seeing is it's one player by himself, right? It's not multiple players have come forward.
Right, and this report was filed in late 2022.
Okay.
And he said he was there from 2020 to
2020. Oh, so he was there this last year then.
Right.
So he finished, 23 was his last, I guess, whatever, going into the new year. Yeah, so that's what we're seeing, is that the board was there from during his run from 2020 to 2023, which again would have ended right around January for him.
And so my thought is, you know, talk about the whiteboard in the locker room. We know, at least with our local media or sports media in general, reporters, journalists, they have access to certain areas of sports facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Locker rooms are one of those places they may have access to. If this was happening in the time frame they're alleging, who was in the locker rooms in 2020? Nobody.
Yeah.
It was just the players and coaches.
Just the players. Well, and I also know, like, and I'll double check my math on this, but I don't, like, for CSU and UNC, I don't know. CSU, we can't go in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as media guys, we go to the press room. That's pretty much it. On the field, practice field and stuff. So, again, it just depends on your school.
Right.
Like, professional sports, they used to allow, I think they're getting away from that, but they used to allow guys to go in the locker room and interview people all the time, which I think was weird.
But that time frame is interesting. If it was in 2020 and they didn't have that access, no one would have known that this whiteboard was in the locker room every day.
But this guy's saying that it was there during his time.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another player, though, on the opposite side. A current player for Northwestern, he also wants to be anonymous, told ESPN on Sunday that the former player who's bringing up the hazing allegations, he informed him of a detailed plan that he's saying that this player that's accusing Coach Fitch of allowing hazing to go on, he said that that player told him of a detailed plan with the sole objective to take down Fitzgerald. So basically, two anonymous players, one anonymous player saying hazing's going on, the other anonymous player is saying no, that player wants Fitzgerald fired, and he's making up the whole story.
Fitzgerald has been coaching at Northwestern since 2001.
Long time.
He's been the head coach since 2006.
And so nothing like this has ever come up. In this day and age, too, because we've been in this day and age for a while now. If something weird like this is going on, somebody's leaking that out. But now you've got one player saying it. And this other player is saying that the hazing accuser had a plan. He said, quote, he just kept emphasizing, yeah, it'll be okay. I'm just trying to get Coach Fitch fired. I don't think he ever acknowledged what he's saying is not true. It was just like, I might embellish or exaggerate to get Coach Fitz fired. He said his sole goal was to see him rot in jail. Then this player that is defending Coach Fitzgerald saying, the truth is none of that stuff happened in our locker room. So when you read that, it's one guy's word right now against everybody else's.
If it did, and it's been going on for as long as he's been there, why have we not heard about it for the last 20
Correct.
Years? If it is being covered up, that's a lot of players and coaches you got to be bribing or doing something to cover this up.
Yes.
So
there's got to be assistant coaches that felt bad about this or icky that were fired. You said it, head coach since 2006. There's got to be somebody that Fitzgerald fired that wasn't happy about being fired on the staff.
Intern,
it could be the towel boy.
It could be the guy that washes their clothes.
Correct. So, again, if this is true, if Fitzgerald didn't know about it and it's true, he should be gone. He shouldn't get a 2-week suspension if it's all garbage, which he's been given. He has been given a 2-week suspension. For what? This is the same thing that
for
I asked.
An accusation.
Yes, this is the same thing I asked about the NFL with Ray Rice. You've suspended him for 2 games, but you don't believe he hit his fiance at the time. Then why did you suspend him? Well, because she was on the ground. So how did she get there? Don't know, but we don't believe he hit her because we're going to go 2 weeks. Why? Oh, then you find out in the video you hit her. So here's my question then for Northwestern. Did he know, was there something going on there with hazing and in the sexual nature that this anonymous player spoke about? You probably think there might have been. Because you are clearly suspending him for 2 weeks, and now you're opening up a bigger investigation, which obviously needs to be done. Fortunately or unfortunately, if somebody blows a whistle, you have to go investigate this now.
Is it a suspension as a punishment or suspension as, hey, I need you to be away from this while we look into it?
Maybe, but you've got to make that clear, I think, because you're screwing over
the
coach.
Are you allowed to make that clear?
I don't know. Because that's on his resume now. He was suspended for hazing allegations in 2023 for 2 weeks. That's on his resume now. That's there. you know, obviously we all know the story and you can read into the story, but that's something he has to now answer for. So I think, again, it's very similar to the Rick Pitino thing in ways. Rick Pitino's staff was putting on sex parties at Louisville to basically entice recruits to want to come there. Pitino still said, oh, he's coaching now, still holds on to his truth, saying, no, I didn't know anything about that, even though it happened in a dorm hall or whatever. I think it was named after like his brother-in-law or something like that. I'm hazy on that story, but that was one we were all over when it happened. But yes, it's if he didn't know about it and it happened, he should be fired. If it happened and he did know about it, he should be fired. If none of this happened and it's all just goofy fun and games that somebody put on a board, they didn't actually do all this stuff, then why are you suspending him for 2 weeks? Wild story. Like, what happens if it's just on the board and the players were making dudes do this? And it was hazing. Like, if a player said, okay, you got to do naked bear crawls. Should Fitzgerald lose his job for allowing players, or not knowing the players were doing this, but players were making guys do naked bear crawls? Yeah. Unacceptable crap. That's how we used to do it in the 60s. Then you were weird. Like, this is weird.
Just seeing some developing news with this story from the Daily Northwestern. Former NU players describe racist environment in football program. Three former Northwestern football players have described a, quote, culture of enabling racism to the Daily, to this paper here, recalling multiple racist actions and remarks from both coaching staff and players in their time in the late 2000s.
Well, now you're starting to get more names pop up then, or more anonymous.
All three players who played for the team in the late 2000s also corroborated some of the hazing allegations reported on Saturday.
There you go. Now you're getting more. So this is just coming out?
Yeah, this came out just about an hour ago.
How about that? Is this going to be a case where there's too much smoke? There's got to be a fire. We'll investigate. We'll probably get 20 anonymous players that come out and say stuff happened.
Well, we talk
we won't
about
be able to prove it.
Covering it up. It only takes one person to speak out. And if there's real smoke to, if these other players saw this and said, oh, I believe that. Hey, guys, let's say it. There you go.
Well, and again, let me be very clear here. Steve Adazio at CSU, and I'm only speaking for my own. He was like, we know he was aggressive, and he had the situation where he basically was bullying a janitor and was getting all over him because the janitor was cleaning the bathroom, and he's like, dude, I got to go to the bathroom, and the janitor's like, I'm cleaning it, and Adazio got in his face. Obviously, different circumstances. I never heard anything to the point where Adazio was doing anything close to this. However, you get that scathing Coloradoan report that came out, said he was kind of talking down to people, had some racial undertones to some of the things he was saying, and then more players stepped out. But you also had his defenders, and who is a friend of mine, Scott Patchen, a great defensive player for CSU, and he was an Adazio guy and defended him, and he said none of that stuff was happening. These guys just can't take hard coaching, and they don't want to play football and all that. And again, I still have a relationship with Scott. Tweeted him the other day, messaged him the other day. He will defend that guy. But again, sometimes a player's account of how things happens individually overrides what you see him do as, you know, when he talks to the rest of the team. This thing is messy. It's ugly. It's gross. I didn't think hazing was still a thing. Dude, this is 2023. We have cameras on our phones. You can record and video everything that's going on. And now, the Adam Rittenberg of ESPN says he has photos of the board. Now, let's just put the cards on the table. You could draw up a fake board and make it look like it was in the middle of a locker room and write all that junk up there. You could do that. Then this anonymous player who thinks he's stepping out, if he's like doctoring stuff up, he could be in big trouble. Fraud and all that stuff.
How much does this relate to football culture, in that what happens in the locker room with my team stays there?
What was the story in Miami? Ryan Tannehill was still there as the quarterback. It was with, why can't I think, the offensive lineman. He has the offensive lineman last name, just sounds like it. And he was bullying a player. Richie Incognito was bullying a player. Was it Martin? And some of the stuff that came out from, tell me if you can find that player's name. He was a younger player at the time, and Incognito was just talking to him and just the things he would say. I mean, it was gross. And
So Tannehill said in his report he implicated Richie Incognito, Mike Pouncey, and John Jerry, as well as offensive line coach Jim Turner and head trainer, in the bullying of Jonathan Martin and another unnamed player and assistant trainer.
Yeah, so Jonathan Martin came out with, and he released text messages from Incognito. I mean, they were nasty. They were texts, though. But you're talking about the football culture, and that is that part of the culture. Guys just talk absolutely disgusting to each other. Some take it to another level. I mean, I've heard stories. You've heard stories mm-hmm. of high school football teams, even, doing goofy stuff. Now, we never did any of that stuff. But I believe it or not, I've heard when I came up to college here, I'd had guys tell me, yeah, we would do this and make them do this. And I'm like, what? We were too small of a school, you know? It's like you piss one guy off, there goes your starting center. You know, like nobody's doing any hazing or anything like that. That never happened. If it did, it was typically innocent stuff. They poured ketchup on you or something. I don't know.
I obviously haven't been on a football team, but I've been in a fraternity in a college, and one of the first things they talked to us about was hazing and how it's not okay and how they don't do any of that. And, you know, part of me was like, oh, are you lying to me? Because I know that it's the stereotypical, oh, it's a frat, it's going to be hazing, it's going to be that. Do you kind of get that same sense with football locker rooms? It's, hey, no, you're going to run 50 sprints after practice because you're a freshman.
Mm. That kind of stuff, I mean, here's what I'll say. Like, just for me personally, small school, as a freshman, yeah, we had to carry all the equipment. We had to help the water boys carry all the equipment in. We would play. I mean, there were times we'd do, like, freshman, the JV take on the varsity, and we'd get our kicked. Mm-hmm. That was just we'd play. I didn't experience any of that. The culture, though, yeah, dudes talk gross in a locker room. There's gross talk happening in there. But I didn't experience anything to the point of, like, what we've heard nasty stories of. So is that a culture that could lend itself to that? I think the more like guys you get into one setting like that, a lot of testosterone and a lot of rage with football and stuff.
Well, does it promote like I'm not going to rat on my teammate? It's like, hey, you guys were talking about this in the locker room. Like, oh, I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not going to name this player, but I know there were certain players that were under the Steve Addazio regime that wouldn't speak out because they're like, I don't want to look like that's the kind of teammate I am if I go to this level and do this.
Well, we see in this story anyway, there's already two players with opposing accusations.
Right. And that's what happened with CSU. I think that's going to happen. Again, I'm not comparing the two situations at all. But you do see, when asked, there are certain guys that will say, I ain't saying anything because I don't want a potential teammate, coach, to think that I will speak on stuff that's supposed to be kept within the locker room. Is that necessarily right? Probably not. Wild story. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Dixon's away. He's in Mexico right now. He just shot us a text. He's got his, I'm guessing that's full of something good, not just water or coffee. And he's got his whole show sticker on there. Dude, repping. That's what we love. That's a Hall of Famer right there. That's part of why he's in the Hall of Fame.
He also has a McLovin driver's license sticker.
So we're right under that one.
Love it.
That's how you get in the Hall of Fame. You do stuff like that. He is definitely there. 34 minutes after the hour, we got to take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
On the Rocks Liquor, I love it, man. They got these tastings going on typically every single weekend. On the 14th, Shine Shop Moonshine's going to be out there. And then on the 15th, Prost Brewing is going to be out there as well. So always great tastings, opportunities to try something new. Maybe you've never heard of before. Try it for free. See if you like it. Maybe that's what you're going to sip on throughout a nice summer weekend. Our beer of the week is from Coors Craft. It's an orange cream vodka pop 4-pack. So check that out at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Just don't be gross, right? And this whole Northwestern story is just absolutely insane. That's I'm sure more of that's a developing story right there. That's what you call in the business a developing story. Because now, Angel, as you said just an hour ago, more players coming out saying, yeah, that kind of checks out. There was also some racist stuff going on, too. So we wouldn't put it past Fitzgerald's program to have some of that going on hazing. So again, summarize with this for the day. If he knew of it, didn't know of it, but it was still happening, fire him. He's been there forever, though. That's the other thing. He's been there forever. How do you not know all the nooks and crannies of everything that's going on in your program? So, again, if it's all crap and it's none of it's real, then why are you suspending him for 2 weeks? You're suspending him for something. 2 weeks isn't enough if any of this stuff is really true. Because it's just this, well, that was the way they did it back then. We had the power over you to make you do sexual things. What? And I get it. I get why people come forward in this day and age, and they do want to be anonymous. You know, there's the old adage, if you got something to say, don't be anonymous about it. This stuff's embarrassing. I wouldn't want to be a player known as doing some of that stuff. Like I said, dude, I've heard some crazy stories from other schools. Absolutely insane. 41 minutes after the hour, the tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Athlon Sports, great magazine. I don't know if you check that out, but it's always a good preview to the college football season. They have Colorado State winning just 5 games in 2023. Let's go through the schedule and see which games those might be. The question is, are they right? Or do you think it's going to be well over that, or a game over that, or under that? We'll see. Offensively, they were just bad last year. A lot of that. Offensive line, new system, all that stuff. But it was just atrocious. Defensively, they were good. Defensively, especially when they got into Mountain West play. They kept them in so many games. But based on that, okay, well, we think the offensive line's getting better. We don't really know. So what do we think? 5 wins? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. 12:42 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
It is Monday, which means all you can eat spaghetti at Cable's Pub and Grill. $5.95. That is the deal. Take advantage of these deals, man. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised. You get your check and you're like, whoa, really? That's it? Yeah. You're getting great meals, great beer, great company, great atmosphere for pretty inexpensive at Cable's Pub and Grill. I was in there on Friday. We met with some clients. Great time there. And we had some pizza. You got to have pizza there. If you guys have not had the pizza. I don't know, though. I'm torn. If like a battle here. The pizza's amazing. The burgers are amazing. And the smothered burrito's amazing. I don't know what I'm going with. What's the go-to now? I'm not sure. But it's good to have options rather than just one or two things they do well. Cable's Pub and Grill, for my money, man, they do it all right. Check them out. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. That's where my friends meet. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Again, congratulations to Walker Martin getting drafted by the Giants at number 52. Yeah, pretty sweet deal there, man. I'm pretty excited for him and what he's going to be able to do in his career. And it does sound like, according to the Denver Post, now I didn't see this one. We were talking with Bruce earlier. Maybe he missed it too. The $3 million signing bonus. It was like 1.6 is what's supposed to be the slot value at number 52. But he's getting $3 million. So it's more than that, almost half. They write in the line here in the Denver Post, obviously Martin will forgo his commitment to Arkansas
to begin his professional career. So that must mean with the signing bonus and everything, that's what you're doing. So at least according to that, it looks like he will be foregoing any kind of college baseball and whatnot. So congrats to him. That is a dude. Guy sat in our studios. Now he's $3 million rich. Should have borrowed some money from him while we had the chance, man, you know? Or should have had him owe you money for something because, you know, he's good for it now. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. When we come back, let's take a look at the college football scene, specifically with Colorado State. Our poll question is, are they going to win more than five games in 2023? Athlon Sports says five wins. That's about right. So we'll look at that schedule coming up. 12:47 the time. It's the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. Enjoy Nuggets coverage year-round on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, sounds like we're going to get our first taste of the real July this week. Going to be in the 90s, maybe the mid-90s, hopefully not the high 90s. I guess once you hit the 90s, it's all terrible and gross and sweaty. But let me tell you, Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you out. Maybe the air conditioner, you're starting to roll a little bit more, and you're looking at it and you're hearing some things. It's not running like it's supposed to. I had some issues a couple years back. I went outside, look at the air conditioning unit, and like the line that was going into my house, the little coupler right before it was frozen over like an ice ball. It's like, well, that doesn't look right. And it wasn't. We got it fixed. Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you out. Maybe you're having issues with that. Maybe you just need to get it looked at. Duct cleaning, or the heater was on the, you know, was running low or running badly toward the end of the season, and you've been putting it off. Well, now might be the time to just get it all taken care of. Get everything good with Lemons Heating and Cooling. Now, free estimates are available. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Athlon Sports saying CSU is going to win five games, just two games better than what they did last year. They were 3-9 last year, 3-5 in the conference, of course. Where are the five wins? Where are the five plus? So we've asked the question to the Hooligans at this stage, and a lot of you guys are pouring in votes. I want to know, do you agree with them? Do you think that they're going to win five games, or they're going to win over that, or just come under that? I've got 50% of the Hooligans right now saying, no, they will win more than five. And then right below that is, no, they'll be under five. And right below that last place here is, well, they... five seems about right. You're actually agreeing with them. Five seems about right. So where are the dubs? Washington State? They played them last year, right? I mean, how good was Washington State last year? Were they decent? No, they weren't very good, were they? And that was a bad situation. They were 500 or so. They were a bowl team. Did they beat Washington State? Probably not. Okay. My heart wants to say, yeah, sure, but they beat them 38-7 last year. Washington State did. It's got to be a loss. Let's just real talk here. It's probably a loss. Okay, at Colorado, Angel, you know you're rooting for CSU to win that game.
I'm not rooting for any teams.
Oh, you're rooting for CSU to win that game.
No.
Yes, you don't.
Once football starts, I have three teams, and that's it.
Alabama, UNC. Oh, college? You only have two.
Oh, college, yes. College is two.
Okay.
I hope
you
it's a
great
game.
You don't ever root for another team to beat another team outside of your favorite teams.
Like actively root for?
Like root for a weekend of football. Oh, Georgia's playing Tennessee this weekend. I'd like to see Tennessee win.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. That doesn't mean I'm rooting for them.
Kind of. If you'd like to see it, you're rooting for it.
I'd like to see both teams end in a draw. And nobody wins. I'd love to see that.
You hate CSU or what?
No.
Why do you want to see them draw? Who wants to see a draw? You want to see a football? Go watch soccer, Angel. Go watch Ted Lasso. There it is. Hit it. Nailed it.
I don't hate CU. I don't hate CSU.
You hate
CU. I just don't actively root for those two teams.
You were annoyed by CU, which is now turning into this growing hate. I can feel it from your side of the glass.
My thing for CU goes back years before you met me.
Like you hate them? You hated them then?
What
happened years before I met you?
Well, my stepbrother went to CU.
So there's hate there.
It's not hate. I don't hate him.
You hate him for the sports teams.
No.
It's sports hate. It's okay. Let it consume you. Let the hate flow through you, Angel. It's college football season.
It's not the Jedi way, Brady.
Well, this is the Darth Vader way.
Almost.
What is it? What's the opposite of the Force? The dark side?
The dark side.
Let the dark side flow. You're a Darth Vader guy. You got a big old Darth Vader thing in your office.
Yeah. Let that actively hate root flow for his evilness you. To conquer the galaxy.
Okay, pick who you would rather win. CU or CSU.
It has no effect on me.
Pick one.
Who wins or loses this game. I hope it's a great game. It's gonna be fun.
Let me tell you this.
To see these two teams match up. The Mile High rivalry. It's gonna be so super cool. I'm excited for that part of
CU CU goes undefeated. Alabama who? Now who,
that's not happening.
Now who are you rooting for? You know that's what's going to happen. Nationally, they are waiting for primetime to take over.
Nationally, they've been waiting for a lot of things.
Okay, CU undefeated. Alabama who? That's why you're rooting against CSU.
Okay, where's Deion going?
No, he's not. He'll finish his contract there and then probably retire.
Anyway, back to the schedule.
They beaten CU.
I don't know. I don't know where CU's at this point.
They're beating CU. CSU is going to beat CU.
Okay.
No, we're predicting.
Sure.
Who's winning?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Angel. You know they're not going to beat Washington State, right?
Yes.
So
I don't know where those two teams will be at in week two of the season.
Is CU
coming off a
Boulder.
Big-time win over TCU, or are they coming off of, oh, my God, we just got our butts kicked. We're super humbled now.
They're not beating
then
TCU.
Then I would see CSU as a favorite there.
I want them
if
to
they
beat
both
TCU.
Lose in week TCU. One, then what happens?
I want them to beat TCU, but they won't. I say CSU is just going to be better because they've got more of a system in place. I don't know what Shadur and Deion and Pat Shurmur now. I don't know what they have. So I'm saying CSU wins. We'll go through the rest of the schedule coming up. Why do you hate CU, Angel? You hate them.